Greetings, everyone. I hope you're doing well. This is Will, Dr. Will Tuttle, here in Sarasota, Florida. And I'm really glad that we were able to gather this way at this time. We're on the road and we're traveling, and it's been a lot of driving the last 2 weeks, all the way up to Missouri and on the way from California. And we just got here into Florida yesterday. So bless you all. I really appreciate your flexibility. Sorry we didn't have the regular session on the first Thursday. So this is Monday, December 6th, 2021. And this is our first Thursday World Peace Satsang meditation session that we have together. So I hope you're all doing well. It's really challenging times as ever, it seems like. I just posted something and shared it with people on an email that I sent out. It was a woman from Germany who's a member of the European Parliament talking about how she's in solidarity with the people of Australia. It was really beautiful. It was only about 2 or 3 minutes long on YouTube. And it's gone. It's just been deleted because of violating the community guidelines, they say, which really is quite distressing because it was about freedom and love and justice, and I guess those are against community guidelines nowadays. So hopefully you can hear me okay. I'm just going to double check my everything. I think it's good. So I'll do a little test here. Now it looks like everything's working well. Okay, so what we usually do here with our session at the beginning of the month is have a meditation at the beginning and then a little bit of a talk and discussion and then open up for any thoughts you have. We don't go more than an hour, and it's a chance to focus on the deeper truths of our situation. So that's how I see it. We are in the home of good friends of ours named Denise and Hussein in Sarasota, outside Sarasota, and here in kind of South Florida, West Florida. And I'm grateful to them for this opportunity to use their Wi-Fi, because that's what it takes to do this whole thing. All right, so let's go ahead and settle in. I think we're ready. It looks like we've got a nice gathering of people here, and we'll begin our meditation time. So during the meditation, basically the option for the microphone is pretty much the default is off. For your video, you can have it on if you'd like, or off, either way, whatever you prefer. I'll leave mine on, and just invite you as you are listening to enter together into our meditation time. So as we begin our meditation, I'd like to invite everyone to connect. Let's connect with our breathing, connect with our sense of being not a being who is merely born and will die, but a sense of ourselves as eternal consciousness, a sense of ourselves as awareness, and as the capacity to know, to feel, and to love, to take an adventure, to explore, and to learn, that we inhabit the cosmos, that we are right now in the neighborhood of this beautiful planet, planet Earth, for a short time, and that we're grateful for this precious opportunity that we have to be part of the movement for the liberation of animals. And so, just breathing together, feeling our connection with this beautiful planet, this earth, the abundant and celebratory magnificence that is all around us. We can feel into that. We can connect with that. We can give thanks that we are embedded in this amazingly intelligent and beautiful unfoldment of life here on this earth. And so we give thanks for this precious opportunity that we have of this particular lifetime with the particular form that we have and name that we have and the whole past that we have had that's brought us to this moment right now. So we give thanks for this present moment and for everything that we've experienced that has brought us to this moment. We give thanks for all of the gifts we've received in our lives, all the beautiful, loving gestures we've received in our lives from our parents and teachers and friends, neighbors and relatives, and strangers and animals, companion animals. So much love has come our way. If we really stop and think about it, we have been blessed enormously by nature and the sun and the moon and the rain and the stars, the earth and all of the flowers and trees, all the food that we've been able to eat. So we've been supported and loved for many years here. And so we give thanks for all of the love and support from so many different directions, both on the physical level, on the finer physical levels. And we also give thanks for all of the challenges that we've had. We give thanks for those who have challenged us, who have perhaps pushed us in ways that we wish at the time they had not, but perhaps ultimately have helped to bring us to the place in our life we are right now, which is the perfect place right now. We are who we are, what we are, manifestation of life, and we contain within us tremendous capacities and experience and wisdom that has accumulated through the years to share this with others, our experiences and our understanding. So we give thanks for our life, this precious, unique, authentic life that we have lived and that we are living. Everyone who has helped be an example in our life over the years. And all those we haven't even met, the people from the past who have written books or started movements, who have lit candles of understanding in the minds of humanity that still radiate today as compassion and insight and bless humans and animals and ecosystems. So we give thanks to the whole web of life as it has unfolded to this point. And we give thanks to ourselves for incarnating during this particular period where humanity is being challenged perhaps more than ever with tremendous challenges, opportunities to grow and to learn and to forge new pathways of living, new pathways of understanding, new pathways of experiencing and expressing what it is to be human. So we allow ourselves now to just savor this moment with all of its confusion and difficulties. We savor this moment and give thanks for this moment and this life and everyone who is our
partner in creating this experience of life that we're having. With that sense that we will all be together again. We have been together before, playing different roles. But the most important thing is now. Whatever has gone before, whatever comes later, right now is the point of our potential, our awareness. And so from this eternal now moment, the only holy moment is right now, we can savor and give thanks for this life, savor and give thanks for this opportunity, and savor and give thanks for the myriad blessings and potentialities that have unfolded both in us and through us. And let's take a moment now and especially savor the gratitude that we have, not only for all of the experiences we've had in our lives and the examples of people who have helped us to cultivate more wisdom and compassion and awareness, but also the animals, the non-human animals who have been in our life at one time or another. So let's just take a moment now and really do that consciously. Give thanks for any companion animals who have been in our lives ever. Kind of hold them in our heart and mind. Perhaps see their faces in our mind's eye and look beyond their faces into their eyes and beyond their eyes into their being and how their presence enriched us in this lifetime. Giving thanks for them and their example of nobility and caring and dedication and loyalty and inquisitiveness and all the qualities that they exemplified, the beautiful qualities that they exemplified of trust and confidence, of innocence and grace. That these qualities live in us as well. So we give thanks for these companion animals, these other animals perhaps that we have known through friends and neighbors. This may be much more of those animals that we have met, companion animals or other animals that we have seen perhaps in circuses or rodeos even. And let's expand it now to all the free living and wild animals we have perhaps seen a little more closely, the birds, the deer. There's so many wild animals still around us, even the beautiful little beings that are right there in the wilderness that we don't think of as wilderness, the spiders and flies, and there's so many animals around us all the time making their living. We can savor them, savor their companionship, their ingenuity, their capacities and capabilities, their innate wisdom to fit into a niche in the natural world that helps fulfill and build the integrity of the interconnected web of life here on this earth. That every being has a place in this web. Every living being is fulfilling a function. And so we again take a moment to savor this awareness of the beauty and infinite indestructibility of the power of life. And now, as we savor this connection that we've had and we still have with all the human beings in our lives that have brought us wisdom and understanding, and all the animal beings who have brought us wisdom, understanding, and companionship and awareness, we give thanks for all the teachings all the books and movies and art and music, all the creations that have touched our hearts over the years. We give thanks for all the natural experiences we've had in nature and the rivers and oceans and mountains and fields and prairies, that we are nature. We're not just living in nature. We are nature itself living here on this earth. We are embedded in natural beings on this earth. That we are of this cosmos. That we are always at home. So savoring that understanding and that awareness. And then now just connecting more deeply with the beauty of our physical body and this capacity we have as vegans to live in harmony with nature and with animals, with other human beings. So we give thanks for the functioning of the miraculous intelligence that is unimpeded in our physical body, in our heart, in our kidneys and liver and all of the cells, the circulatory system and all the systems in our brains and in our hands and feet and arms and our skin, every dimension of our physical body, that it is an instrument for the expression of divine love. It is an instrument for the expression of our own love and creativity into the world. So we give thanks for this beautiful expression of our physical body and its harmony, its divine harmony that's ever present, that is always radiating into the web of relations, and that as vegans we bring harmony into the world and into all of our relations. Reminding people of the deeper connection that we have with nature, with animals, with rivers and forests and mountains and with sunlight, with the inner peace that flows always at the core of everyone, all living beings. There's a very deep level of inner peace that we can tap into and connect with every moment, every now moment that we experience. The deep peace is always present. No matter what's happening in the outer world, whether what's happening in the outer world is something we like or we don't like, we understand that it's an arising that has causal factors, and that it will pass away when those causal factors are over. Everything is temporary. And so we focus now and savor the eternal dimension of our true nature, of our eternal consciousness that's functioning now through this particular experience, but that what we are actually is the unborn. We experience a birth, but what we are was never born and will never die. We are eternal awareness, like all living beings. We share the same quality of being life itself. And so we breathe together, slowly let the breath come in deeply all the way to the bottom of our lungs. And breathing out, just releasing any fear we may be holding, releasing any tension we may be feeling, any stress about what we read about in the news or see on the computer screens. Just letting all that go. And know that we are here and we are made for this time, that we are here to contribute our joy and freedom and beauty and peace and insight and wisdom to the dance that is happening right now on this planet, that we have already matured to the point where we are able to be a blessing in the world. And so we give thanks for this, knowing this is so, and knowing that every single day we are awakening more, we are awakening more deeply and more fully to our true nature. We're contributing more and more authentically to the wisdom that humanity is calling forth now, and that it is becoming more and more clear to us every day what our unique purpose is, and we are living that more and more fully every day. And so as we begin to bring our meditation time to a close, we again breathe together and savor this community of like-minded people and spirit. We give thanks for the underlying joy that we have in being vegan. There are animals suffering, but it's not because of us. This is something we can always give thanks for, that we are doing the best we can to be part of the solution, to not be part of the problem, to be part of the healing that is happening on this earth. So at any moment, we can breathe and give thanks that we have been able to awaken out of the prison of violence towards animals, that we're learning and growing more and more every day to embody this more fully and to shine this light to others. So we give thanks for this beautiful opportunity of a human life at this time on the earth when the challenges are so strong and where the stakes are so high, where it seems that there are dark forces that are pushing for greater tyranny and fear and confusion in the world, that we are embedded and strongly established in the eternal dimension of being. So we feel our bodies lining up. Let's just have that awareness that our physical body, our emotional body, our mental body, our spiritual body, the body of our awareness on the highest level are all in perfect alignment. That the life of joy and freedom and liberation and wisdom and celebration and creativity flows through our mind, our feelings, our physical body, into every dimension of our affairs for the benefit of all living beings. That we're living here to be of service and of benefit to others. That's the whole purpose. So we give thanks for this awareness, for this alignment. We let go of anything that interferes with this alignment. We let go of anything that perhaps came from our conditioning and that we're still clinging to that keeps us in confusion or out of alignment with our purpose. Just letting that go and giving thanks that in every moment of awareness, we're deepening our connection with the truth that we are. And that we are calling forth a community and a web of communities of human beings and of human beings with animals and with other beings of other dimensions perhaps, and that we are in these communities, contributing to these communities, forging and creating communities of healing and of service and of awakening. So in closing, we just breathe from our heart. With every exhalation, just seeing now a ever-expanding sphere of light, radiating love into the whole web of relations, breathing and radiating loving-kindness into the whole web of relations, breathing and radiating compassion into the whole entire web of relations on this planet and beyond, breathing and radiating joy into the infinite web of relations of all living beings. May all beings be connected with the infinite joy that is their true nature. May all beings be connected with the wisdom that liberates from suffering in all domains. May all beings connected with the loving kindness that shines always in our hearts. And breathing and radiating peace and harmony and equanimity in all directions simultaneously in ever-expanding spheres of light. And seeing now this beautiful earth bathed in the light of peace and harmony, eternally shining with abundance and beauty, and that we are part of the reawakening of human consciousness. We are part of the resurrection of Sophia, the sacred feminine wisdom of compassion and kindness, rising up in the human consciousness. We are part of the awakening of the empowered masculine consciousness of wisdom and compassion, and that we are living all of this for the benefit of all living beings. So we give thanks, knowing this is so, and so it is. All right, so thanks everyone for joining us in our meditation. We're delighted that we're able to come together like this and breathe together. That's what the word conspiracy means, right? Literally, to breathe together. We're breathing together. We're creating years ago, Marilyn Ferguson wrote a book called The Aquarian Conspiracy, where she talked about the unfoldment of this whole higher way of living and thinking that was manifesting. It seemed to be, it is still manifesting. And I think right now we all acknowledge that it's still manifesting through the vegan movement, through many other movements for liberation, for respecting the sovereignty of living beings, and for living a healthy life, basically, more connected with nature. All right, so let's see, how are we doing? It's about 8:30 here in Florida. And usually at this point, I like to take a few minutes and do a reading from, we've been doing it from the Dhammapada, and I looked ahead, actually, before the call to see which chapter we were going to be reading from, and it's really, I think, quite a beautiful one. It's the one, number 10, and so I'll go ahead and read this and maybe make just a few comments. So, number 10, the title of number 10 here is Violence. And as you know, the Dhammapada is a collection of source documents in the Buddhist tradition. It goes way back. It's considered sort of one of the original teachings of the original historical Buddha, way back in India 2,500 years ago. And it's kind of neat because these are, you know, it seems like a long time ago, but in the bigger picture of time, it's not that long ago perhaps. We talk about animal agriculture being here for 10,000 years. So this is relatively recently. And really about 2,500 years ago, there were a lot of people at the same time all over the planet who were creating religions, and there seemed to be this big burst of spiritual light at that time, about 2,500 years ago. Karl Jaspers of Germany, the great philosopher, termed termed it the axial age. The axial age, because there was the Buddha in India, there was Lao Tzu in China, and Confucius, Confucius in China, and Mahavir also in India, founder of the Jain tradition, the Buddhist tradition, the Taoist and Confucian traditions, the great Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, and so forth, in the Middle East, Pythagoras in Greece, kind of tying a lot of these things together. He was actually, I think, a couple hundred years later, but there was really a lot happening back then. I think also Zoroaster, Zarathustra. So there was a lot happening at that time, it seems like, and maybe inspiration that we can still draw from today, the wisdom. And you know the historical story of the Buddha, where he was raised in a very beautiful palace in northern India, because his father was told by these sages that his son would either be a great ruler, king, emperor, or he would be a world-honored one, spiritual teacher. And so his father, of course, preferred the former. He wanted his son to be a great warrior and king. And so he thought, I don't want anyone to ever let him see any of the suffering of the world. He thought if he never saw the suffering of the world, he would never develop any spiritual inclination. Because his son was obviously quite a spiritually oriented and was very much prone to just contemplation, and although he was very athletic as well. So he lived a very isolated life, but then when he was a young man, he got away. He wanted to see what life was like outside the palace, and so he went away four times, and his attendant brought him, and the first time he saw someone who was sick, and he'd never seen anyone who was sick before, and he said, "What's this?" "Oh, that's a man who was sick." And he thought, "Oh my gosh, people actually get sick. I didn't know about that." So he saw that, and then he saw someone who was suffering from old age, very old, could barely walk, and he said, "What the heck is that?" "Well, that's someone who's old. You know, we all get old and infirm," and so forth. And so the Buddha was very troubled seeing sickness, seeing old age. The third time he went out, he actually saw somebody dead. He saw a corpse. "Oh my gosh, what is that? That's what's going to happen to all of us. We're all going to die." That was like, whoa, what a shock. "Oh, you mean, really?" So he saw those three things. Then the fourth time he went out, he saw someone who was a renunciate, who had renounced the world. He was meditating under a tree. And he said, "What is that guy doing?" "Oh, he's a renunciate. He's seeking a spiritual life because he's aware of the vicissitudes of this life, of sickness, old age, and death. And so he realizes that it's not a good idea to build up wealth in this world. We should rather build up our wealth in the spiritual realm of consciousness." And so the Buddha started really thinking about all this. And even though he was surrounded by luxury and beauty, he began to see how everything is transitory and temporary. And so, as you know, he, in the middle of the night, he jumped on a horse and took off and left the palace, and even left his wife and his son to go on a spiritual quest, and worked very hard and attained enlightenment in his, I think it was his 34th year, they say, as supreme enlightenment, and was able to then return. That's the whole idea, then return to his family and to the world with gift-giving hands. He could give the gift of wisdom, of compassion, of awareness. And so he began speaking, and people began writing down what he was saying. And so we have the Buddhist sutras, which are vast, really thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of pages. They're so huge. The different, the Theravada or Hinayana, the Mahayana, the Vajrayana, all these different teachings. But this is one of the core teachings, the Dhammapada, very kind of simple, basic teaching. So this is from chapter 10. The title of this is Violence, and this is how it goes. Again, these are all relatively brief, but I think it's really, of all the entire Dhammapada, I think this is like the best one for the vegan message in a way. It's got some famous stanzas in it. The first one is famous. All tremble at violence. All fear death. Seeing others as being like yourself, do not kill or cause others to kill. You probably heard that somewhere. So that's sort of the foundational vegan message. All beings tremble at violence. All beings fear death. Seeing yourself in others, do not kill or cause others to kill. All tremble at violence. Life is dear for all. Seeing others as being like yourself, do not kill or cause others to kill. If, desiring happiness, you use violence to harm living beings who desire happiness, you won't find happiness after death. Okay, so that's a basic fundamental teaching, right, that we're ignoring. If, desiring happiness, you do not use violence to harm living beings who desire happiness, you will find happiness after death. Don't speak harshly to anyone. What you say will be said back to you. Hostile speech is painful, and you will meet with retaliation. If, like a broken bell, you do not reverberate, then you have attained nirvana, and no hostility is found in you. That's probably my favorite stanza in the entire Dhammapada, actually. I just, that particular one resonates with me like a bell, because it just says it perfectly. If, like a broken bell, you do not reverberate, then you have attained nirvana, and no hostility is found in you. Nirvana, of course, means, what does it mean? It literally means extinction, but it means the extinction of delusion. So we're all like bells, we're all resonating all the time, right? Somebody says something we like, and we like them, then they say something we don't like, and then we don't like them, and you know, so we're going up and down all the time. We hear good news, we hear bad news, we get pleasure and pain and fame and gain and loss, and fame and infamy. I mean, all these dualisms are continually causing our mind to be disturbed. So the whole idea is to wake up and realize that what we are is the infinite awareness within which everything is arising. We can witness all these different arisings and savor them. I love that word savor, as you notice. Savor whatever it is. It's because we are far greater than any of it. So, that is a key stanza. As with a stick a cowherd drives cows to pasture, so aging and death drive the lives of beings. Even while doing evil, fools are ignorant of it. Like someone burned by fire, those lacking wisdom are scorched by their own deeds. Now this is a really interesting one. Whoever uses violence to harm the nonviolent and the innocent quickly goes to one of 10 conditions. Intense pain or great loss, bodily injury or insanity, serious illness or vicious slander, oppression from rulers or the loss of relatives, houses consumed by fire, or wealth destroyed. So those are the 10 conditions that will befall those who use violence to harm the nonviolent and the innocent. Think of that. Those 10 things. And we see that happening. Intense pain, great loss, bodily injury, insanity, serious illness, vicious slander, oppression from rulers, or the loss of relatives, houses consumed by fire, or wealth destroyed. So, you know, right there, I think we've got to the point, because this is something, you know, actually, I've been saying for decades that if we're going to insist on abusing animals with what we're, the way we do, with imprisoning them and force medicating them and breaking up their families and so forth, the same thing's going to happen to us, and we're going to be oppressed by so-called rulers and experience disease and mental problems of various kinds. And with the breakup of the body, the unwise one falls into hell. No nakedness or matted hair, no filth, dust, or dirt, no fasting or sleeping on bare ground, no austerities in a squatting posture purify a mortal who has not overcome doubt. So that's an important point. So if we don't ever overcome doubt, nothing else will help us. So that's something to ponder. What does he mean by overcoming doubt? That's a very interesting thing. Even though well adorned, if one lives at peace, calm, controlled, assured, and chaste, having given up violence towards all beings, then one is a Brahmin, a renunciate, and a monastic. Where in this world does one find someone restrained by conscience, who knows little of blame, as a good horse knows little of the whip? Like a good horse, alert to the whip, be ardent and alarmed. With faith, virtue, effort, concentration, and discernment, accomplished in knowledge and good conduct, mindful, you will leave this great suffering behind. Irrigators guide water, fletchers shape arrows, carpenters fashion wood, the well-practiced tame themselves. So that's, I think, really tremendous. I mean, the applicability of this, the sense of the eternal validity of spiritual teachings, you know, just shines right through there. We're seeing this exactly happening to us today. I mean, think of this, you know, he wrote this in a completely different, on the other side of the world, in a totally different time, long before any technology we can even, I mean, just very simple living, but what he's saying, these are eternal truths, and if we are going to fail to restrain our thoughts and words from harmfulness to others, then we're going to be sowing the seeds of that in various ways, as he discusses here. And the whole idea of using our mind in the proper way, so that our mind brings us freedom from doubt, right? Freedom from doubt, and that's an interesting word, that word doubt, because doubt is considered in the teachings on one level as being a great virtue, right? We should doubt everything, and the greater the doubt, the greater the enlightenment. But then on the other hand, he's saying that to free ourselves from doubt, and I think we can feel into what that means. It's when our consciousness actually understands at a deeper level beyond words, then we are at peace in a way that we don't have, we're not assailed essentially by the kinds of doubts that seem to be so prevalent nowadays of who is my friend, what should I do, how should I live, where should I go. Oh, you know, we're people, this whole society right now, I think in many ways is topsy-turvy. People are filled with doubt and confusion. Friends used to be reliable, and now they're not anymore. Family members are on the other side of the great divide. There's so many divisions that are arising. We don't know what the future is going to be bringing, even in the next few months or a few years. So this is really quite a time to be alive. So the mic is too close. Oh, thank you. I can just let it go. Let the microphone go. Thank you. That's good to know. Thanks, Fred. So thanks everyone for putting up with my heavy breathing into the microphone. I think this is a new thing. since we're at this house and there's other people in other parts of the house, I'm not really sure how to do the sound. But the most important thing, I think, in all of this is the inquiry, right? The questioning of the truth of what is, of what we are and what's actually happening in the world, and how much do we rely on the reports of the media? How do we live our lives? What do we focus on? How do we bring healing into our own lives and into the lives of the people around us as best we can? How can we be a voice for the voiceless? And what's the best way to do that? So I think on this first Thursday, which is Monday, we focus on the internal dimension and how, when we bring our consciousness into alignment with our deeper purpose, then we can find our way through the maze that very often seems to be inscrutable of this world. Where to live, what to do, what kind of income to make, who to relate to in what way, and so forth. Each one of us, I think, has our own unique way of uncovering this intuitively for ourselves. But it is helpful, I think, to come together as a community to acknowledge the challenges and to support each other in this adventure that we're on here. So I can stop here. It looks like we've got a few more minutes before we end. We can end here, or if you have questions, feel free to raise your hand, press star 6. I will be happy to respond to your questions, and I always appreciate your presence. I appreciate your feedback and your contributions to our community. I do want to mention one thing right now, just because I think I'll try to make sure that everybody knows this, but please tell people this if you know them, if they come to the to these gatherings. On the third Thursday, which is the 16th of this month, so we're not going to be able to meet on that day, because I really had a long talk today with this group in Taiwan, Su Chi. They asked me a long time ago, over a month ago, or 2 months ago, to do something on the 17th of December, and I didn't realize that is the 16th of December here. And if we're in Florida, we just can't do it. So I'm doing a program with them that's very important, actually, for them, and I think it's an obligation I have to fulfill. So what I'm going to just say is I'd like to suggest that we all get together instead of on the third Thursday, on the third Friday. So we'll get together on Friday the 17th at the usual time, at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern time. So I'll put that out in the email, but I know some of you don't get the emails. So if you know people who don't get the emails, I send the email to everybody, but the spam blockers just block it. That's the problem. So we're going to do it on just one time. We're going to have to do it, I think, on Friday the 17th instead of Thursday the 16th. So I want to let you know all that. All right, so any comments or questions anyone has about anything at this point? Here we are at the end of December. All kinds of things are happening. It's disconcerting. I was so really kind of bothered. I think I said at the very beginning, some of you weren't here. Yesterday, I think December 5th, was the SOS day for the International Day of Solidarity with the people of Australia, who are finding their liberal democracy being reduced to a total tyrannical fascist kind of, I don't know what, state. They're being imprisoned and losing their freedoms. And so this wonderful woman, I thought her talk was great. It was only a couple of minutes long. Her name is Christine Anderson from Germany. She spoke up and gave a short talk. I think she was at the airport or something, and just said, we're in solidarity with the people of Germany. And she kind of said what the Buddha said. She said, don't ever think that people who are trying to compel you to do things have your best interests at heart. She said, tyrants have always used the welfare of the people as their pretext for oppression. So, you know, wake up everybody and stand up and don't comply with these tyrannical mandates, is what she said. And lo and behold, I refreshed it, and it says, YouTube says that she's violating the terms, the community standards, and it's gone. So, you know, it's just amazing to see how the truth is being censored more, far more than I ever thought I would ever see in my lifetime. And this has been experienced by vegans. The vegan message has been censored for a long time. Also, the meat, dairy, and egg industries have been trying to keep us from spreading the vegan message. And now we're seeing health freedom messages also being suppressed. And our basic freedom are being suppressed. So I think it's a spiritual, I don't want to say battle, but it's a spiritual challenge that we find a place within ourselves where we know how to respond to the situation. I don't think anyone can tell anyone how to respond. I think that's something we all come to on our own. But these are the times where I think we're really being challenged at a deep level to know the best way to respond. What she said was, people are all taking the vaccination so that so they have freedom. So they have freedom from the government. And she said, don't think that this freedom is going to last. Because it's not. It's not going to last. Tomorrow they're going to want you to do something else. And then the next day they'll want you to do something else. So she's a smart woman. And I can see why they don't want her voice to be heard. But how do we respond? I guess that's the question. And my answer to that for myself really is to not only to speak up on behalf of health freedom, but on behalf of nonviolence towards animals. Because I think in the big picture, it all comes back to that. If we're going to insist on eating animals and abusing animals, we're creating the foundation to have, like the Buddha said, I mean, right here, the seventh of the ten conditions is oppression from rulers. So, I think, you know, when we sow seeds of violence towards others, that's one of the things we're going to reap. We are the rulers of these animals. We oppress them. We're going to be oppressed. Just like, I think the Buddha nailed it on that one. So I've got a few, let's see something here. Okay, a few things. Thanks to you, Madeline, for your tremendous effort. So thanks, Julie. Yeah, I know this has really been a big effort, this road trip. We drove. We had deadlines. I mean, we really had to drive, you know, and make deadlines. But we did. The whole thing started, and we went to Southern California, and did some wonderful events there, and then in Phoenix, and then Tucson. We had Thanksgiving with some vegan friends, and then we had to get to Austin in time for a big event there, and then up to Tyler in time for several events at a college there, and then up to Unity Village. In time for a big event there, actually a lecture and a workshop to the staff of Unity Village, which was really something we've been begging for and hoping for decades, and it finally came to fruition where I could actually just give the Charles and Myrtle Fillmore's teaching that has been suppressed for 70 years of compassion for animals and bring it forth to the staff of the world headquarters of Unity. To encourage them to do everything they can to encourage the ministries to not abandon the fundamental teachings of the Fillmores, the founders of Unity, which they've been doing. So that's a great sign, I think, and it's wonderful. But then we had to jump on our horse and get to Alabama in time for the event on Saturday, a lecture there, and then get to Sarasota yesterday in time for the lecture there in the afternoon. So we made it. Our little trusty little microvan really is very reliable. And thanks to Madeline helping out with the driving, and we always make sure we take time to stop now and then and stretch and breathe and so forth so that we don't get too exhausted by sitting in a car for hours on end. But we really appreciate all the prayers of everybody and all the efforts by so many local activists in all these different communities around the United States and the southern United States to help set up these events. It was really fantastic, actually. We met a lot of wonderful people, and It's not the way it was before COVID. It's much more difficult. A lot of people don't want to go out. It's hard to set up events, but it's still happening. There still are these veg fests. It's not like it was. We don't have 5 or 10,000 people at these veg fests. We have maybe 400 or 500 or 100, 200 maybe. I don't know how many, 200 people. So the events are smaller, but they're precious. And we just keep planting the seeds basically and know that, even if on the outer level it doesn't look like there's a lot of people, everybody makes a difference, and those people can go forth and spread the message to their friends. And so we have to, I think, just not give up in the face of any of this, but just keep doing the best we can. So that's what you've been doing. All right, so it just looks like we're about at our time here. Does anyone else have any comments or questions? If you do, I'm happy to respond. And otherwise, we're finally, for the very first day, we weren't driving somewhere today, and I could catch up on a few things. And we've got another couple of days before we have another event in South Florida. So you can check our schedule. We have a few more things here. We'll be going to Hippocrates Health Institute and doing about 3 or 4 events a week there once we get to about December 22nd. And we're very grateful for the opportunities that are here in Florida and everywhere, actually.
Will, this is
yes.
Lily.
Oh, yes.
Hi.
Lily, hi.
Will, I just want to thank you. I was brimming with gratitude when you gave your wonderful gratitude meditation. I'm just thinking, if I hadn't run into you on the radio 14 years ago, I'm into my 15th year of being a vegan now because of the World Peace Diet, I can't even imagine what my life would be like today. There is so much joy in my life just being a vegan. And it's that's my ground of being. And I'm a World Peace Diet vegan to the core, and I spread the message of the World Peace Diet anywhere I can. And thank you so much for being in my life, and much love to your dear Madeline. I love you both, and I pray for you both. I'm so happy you're doing what you do. When I first heard about you, I said, who does this? What kind of a person is this? Maybe we ought to get his book.
Right.
I am so glad. I am a World Peace Diet vegan. Thank you, Will. And thank you, Madeline. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lily. Well, I appreciate you taking time to say that. And I know you're a real champion for the animals. That's what it's all about, standing up and being a voice for these beautiful animals that really are depending on us to stand up for them, to speak up for them, and to show the world that there's another way of living where we don't have to eat their flesh and terrorize and abuse them. And when we do that to them, we create not only hell for them, but really eventually for ourselves. So thanks, Lily, for shining the light and helping so many people with your presence, with your wonderful World Peace Diet Sundays. I remember for so many years you kept going to, and so much. So, and thank you, everyone. I mean, everyone on this call, you're all champions for the animals, and I'm honored to be able to count you as colleagues and friends. Madeline sends her love also, and our friends here, Hussein and Denise, send their love. And I guess we'll go ahead and call it a month here. This is our signing off, I guess, now. And I will, let's see, would you please add my, I'll add names to the email list. Make sure that you, if you can, do something so that it doesn't go right into your junk or spam or whatever it is, because I have a lot of people that say they don't get them. They definitely go out, so they're probably going to the wrong place. The spam filters now are really aggressive, and I don't have the most sophisticated equipment to get through them, unfortunately. All right,
Will,
I love you. Yeah?
Will,
yes.
Hello. One thing you said in a reading was the trained and disciplined, they tame themselves. And it was just
Maybe turn off your video. We can barely hear you, unfortunately.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was hard to hear. I think it was something about taming. And maybe you can write it in the chat or something. I'm sorry, but it was kind of hard to get that. But it was great to see your face, Tammy. I appreciate I know you're way up in the wilds of Canada and far away from any technology. So thanks for checking in with us. And appreciate it. All right. Well, much love to all of you. And we will maybe just say, we can say together. It's always good to do that. Let's say together our prayer for compassion. You can unmute your microphones if you'd like. This is a good time to do it. And we'll say the prayer three times. Okay, here we go. Compassion encircles the earth
for all beings
everywhere.
Compassion
encircles the earth
for all beings everywhere.
One more time.
Compassion
circles the earth
for all beings everywhere.
All right.
Thank you, Will.
Bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. I sent you a prayer request. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.